Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Time expires. He just got the snap off. Flushed out by Odighizuwa. And he's going to be almost hit by Clark. Throws it away. It's intercepted. He threw up a duck. Here comes Bland down the sideline. It's a pick six. It's a pick six. The first touch of a ball by a Cowboys quarterback this year.
Thank you to the Cowboys Radio Network. And yeah, the defense came to play, and feels like it's the first time we're saying that about the Dallas Cowboys. They beat the Washington Commanders yesterday, Pearl, and the offense clearly gets an even bigger boost now with CeeDee Lamb back in the lineup. And when the defense shows up, knock Jaden Daniels out of the game, Marcus Mariota threw that pick six as the backup quarterback. Yeah, Dallas looks like a playoff team if they can play like this.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing about Dallas is we didn't think Pickens and Lamb could play together because we didn't see it at first. And now that they have both of them, and yesterday they were both amazing. They both almost got to 100 before half. They were working it together very well. So now we have a full legitimate number two threat where it was CeeDee Lamb or nothing. For even when they were winning games, it was too reliant on CeeDee Lamb. I feel like this is a different Dallas offense. The question is, as you know, the defense.
Yeah, so they had not just Deron Bland, but we're used to him, you know, with the pick sixes. That's like kind of what he became famous for. But I thought what was most surprising, maybe encouraging, is you had guys like Kyer Elam, who had been terrible, was a Bills cast off. I know, only allowed two receptions on seven targets for 31 yards, allowing zero receptions since week five. Like, this is means maybe guys are getting it, right? Maybe there could have been a turnaround. Maybe Matt Eberflus just did need a little bit of time with these guys. Now, listen.
I mean, that all sounds great, but the Commanders are limping into that game.
Okay, well, then you got to factor in the opponent. I totally understand that. Obviously, the injury bug on the Commanders' offense has gotten to a point where it's a full-out five-alarm fire. Terry McLaurin out, Deebo Samuel, Noah Brown, and then Jaden Daniels leaving the game in what looked like he was in excruciating pain. A knee issue, and then he has to limp off the field and goes into the medical tent and then goes into the locker room, never to return. So to me, yeah, it was a little about the opponent, but if you're asking, are the Dallas Cowboys a playoff team? Well, yeah, if the defense can actually hold their own even slightly, we are looking at easily one of the best offenses in the NFL, if not the best.
Well, here's the problem with Dallas. I mean, you're right. The offense is great. The schedule gets way harder on the back end. You know, they actually lost to Carolina, but they beat the Jets. They had that miraculous tie against the Packers. They beat the Giants. So we do not really know how they are against. They have a stretch of Philly, KC, Detroit. That is hard. And then Minnesota, Chargers, Commanders and Giants, it's going to be tough. The NFC playoff picture is muddled. I don't know. I would take a bet against them making the playoffs right now. 3-3-1. The odds are sort of, you know, you're at about 50-50 right now. I would take a bet against them, even though I think Dak Prescott's playing absolutely the best football of his life. He is blowing away. Even 2 years ago when he had that near MVP season, his numbers are way better. He has the highest QBR he's ever had, highest passer rating he's ever had. He is seeing the field really well. Missed a couple yesterday, but he is great. The question is, will the defense hold up against tougher opponents?
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, Detroit's defense is all banged up, and you're going to run into some opponents that are obviously not at full strength, just like they did with the Commanders. And if the defense can just be a bit better, again, this offense is really something. And Tom Brady was talking about it yesterday, about the real winners need to be able to pass the ball. I'm like, all right. I mean, I always thought it was about running the ball. But then again, he's Tom Brady, and I'm not. So here's Jerry Jones yesterday crediting Brian Schottenheimer for spending more time with embattled defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus during the week to make those adjustments.
Credit goes to head coach, who spent a lot of time on that side of the ball this week, along with Flus, and make an adjustment. Certainly gives us a lot of hope as we look to the future as to how this defense can play as we evolve.
Okay, listen, it's as painful to me as it is anyone to do a Jerry was right thing. Nobody wants to do Jerry was right, because Jerry's been so wrong for a while that it can be painful to admit this. But I think there's a couple things. One, you know, last week, what was the storyline? Matt Eberflus needs to be fired, right? He is the defensive coordinator. They lost to the Carolina Panthers. He's got to go. Jerry said, hold on, be patient. We think he can be a lot better. They were today. Again, backup quarterback offense sucks for the Commanders right now. But then what else? Hiring Brian Schottenheimer. I don't know, Pearl. Maybe they're a playoff team, maybe they're not. But Brian Schottenheimer has not been a complete and utter embarrassment. We thought it was weird when they didn't basically interview anybody to be the head coach, almost like they were caught off guard that Mike McCarthy is not their coach anymore, like it was a contract stare down. Micah Parsons was phenomenal yesterday for Green Bay when they played the Arizona Cardinals. So that trade continues to look bad, but I got to give Jerry some credit. Maybe Schottenheimer really does have a future in this league. And, you know, at least sticking with Eberflus helped for 1 week. We'll see how they do next week against Denver.
I feel like you're caught in the moment a little bit on this shoddy thing. Like, yeah, I mean,
you don't think they can beat the Denver Broncos? The Giants should have beat the Broncos
yesterday. They could beat anybody. But yeah, I'm not saying that, but I just feel like 3-3-1 to a crown. I mean, was the bar to not be a horrible embarrassment? I mean, this is a team that, it's a kind of the core of a team. Dak Prescott's won almost 70% of his games as an NFL quarterback. Like, you probably should win a bunch of games with Dak. I'm telling you, there's a lot TBD on this season. I really think you're getting ahead on this Schottenheimer thing. We'll see. I'm definitely at a we'll see. Denver looks terrible. You're right. They could definitely win this game. But if they lose this game, we're going to be back to fire Eberflus, fire Shoddy. Not fire Shoddy, fire Eberflus. That could come back any second. And then they have a really hard game against Arizona, because Arizona will lead any team with 2 minutes left in the game and lose that game. But this might be the game where Jonathan Gannon figures out the last 2 minutes of a game. Who knows? There is a lot could happen with the Cowboys.
That was a crazy game yesterday between the Cardinals and the Packers, because every game with Arizona turns out to be a crazy game. I'm not sure how Green Bay didn't win that game by more. I don't understand it. You can weigh in on the Cowboys. EJ, if you can put up a poll question for us, do the Cowboys look like a playoff team? At Maggie and Pearl, you can call us at 888-710-4ISN. Now, we did ask a kind of toss-up question out there for you, because we saw a lot of great things this weekend. What was the best game of the weekend? And you can go back to Friday night with Shohei Ohtani. 6 shutout innings, 10 Ks, 3 home runs in a closeout game, Dodgers-Brewers. Dodgers move on to the World Series. They'll await the winner of Game 7 tonight between the Mariners and the Blue Jays. You've got Louisville going into Miami and baiting Carson Beck into 4 interceptions. You can talk about Alabama beating Tennessee. Maybe you like Vanderbilt being LSU. Maybe you're more about what happened yesterday in the fourth quarter between the Denver Broncos and New York Giants, which was just mayhem. Broncos end up winning a game they had no business winning.
Yeah. By the way, can I point out Carson Beck actually threw 5 interceptions and they took one back for roughing? But that's not the point. EJ has a stat about the Cardinals that blew my mind before the show. That was a great game, too. I think the Packers-Cardinals game was just as exciting as any other game. EJ, what was it about the Cardinals?
So there's 2 here. So one being that the Cardinals have become the first team in NFL history to lose 3 straight games after leading by 7-plus points entering the fourth quarter. And then there's another stat also that the Cardinals have lost 5 straight games while leading or tied in the fourth with 5 minutes remaining or fewer.
Oh my gosh, that is painful.
They're actually a pretty good team. And one thing, like, they can't put Kyler Murray back in. Jacoby Brissett is playing better football right now.
No doubt. Not even close. The offense runs. I just don't understand why the Green Bay defense, right, which was this awesome defense. And again, Micah Parsons was great yesterday. He had 3 sacks. But how are they letting Trey McBride, of all people, get loose? Like, who else is catching passes on this team? You've got to make sure you have eyes on Trey McBride at all times. And he had 2 touchdowns yesterday where he was wide open.
All right, that is true. But other teams lose Trey McBride, too. And I'm always wondering, like, who's going to beat you if not Trey McBride? He's fantastic. Cardinals are a good team. They are. It's bizarre that they can't win these games, and I don't know if Jonathan Gannon survives this, but they're actually a pretty salty team despite some injuries. Jacoby Brissett was awesome. I mean, awesome in a sort of second chance journeyman kind of way. He was really good for the Cardinals.
Yeah, he runs the offense, you know? Like Kyler, I don't know what that is. A lot of improv. Let's go to the phones. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. What was the game of the weekend? Richie's in Queens, New York. I have a feeling where you're going with this one, Richie.
Maggie, it's great to talk to you. It's been a couple of years, and I've been meaning to get a hold of you. And Andrew, you guys got a good show, and really appreciate that you got me on.
Thanks, Richie.
Yeah. With the evil empire, Andrew, I don't see how you don't see. Mm. And you know, Maggie, I'm a big San Francisco Giant fan, so yep. Obviously, I'm up against it with them. But for them to do what they're doing, the deferred contract, getting Snell, I figured they couldn't sign Teoscar Hernandez. They signed him. They bring in the world. And I understand mm-hmm. it's the way of the world now. Money does talk. And, you've got to accept the salaries. Otherwise, me, the old guy in the balcony, you never watch games, you know. But it's extreme. But they are winning. Give them credit, because for a few years they were getting a lot of grief because they weren't winning. The Giant game last night, guys. Look, I want to take something positive out of it, big Giant fan. It's very difficult to do that when you give up 33 points in a quarter. Dot looks like the real thing. I thought that was going to be the savior for Dable. I really thought that even him and Shane were on the fence as far as being fired, but now they've got something to work for. But Tiki Barber was insane, thinking he should have never thrown the pass. My feeling is I've seen more egregious errors than that, mistakes.
Yeah, the interception, the dart through. Yeah, it kind of cracked the door back open for the Broncos. Yep.
His logic, Mag, was let them run the ball. Maybe you do get a first down. If not, let them use their last timeout. There's 5 minutes to go. You get the ball back. And, you know, they're going to have to drive the field. Maybe you get it back, you get a first down, it's over. But, it's 5 minutes to go. It's not the worst thing in the world. It was obviously a bad interception. But too many chunk plays, too many quick plays. Take 10 seconds off here, another 20 seconds to score. It doesn't come down to kicking a field goal with 2 seconds to go.
Richie,
I have never seen that.
This is a painful one. Great to talk to you. Thank you so much for checking in. Painful on so many levels for the Giants and for the Broncos. You have to be looking around after this and saying, how did we win this game? I mean, at one point, you had a penalty, defensive pass interference that gave the Giants a late score, and Sean Payton is so incensed, he comes out onto the field and he gets a personal foul. Like, that's when you know your team is completely unraveling, and somehow they regrouped and were able to take advantage of some Giants defensive miscues, including Brian Burns, the standout defensive end for the Giants, who got caught walking in the locker room saying, why do we drop 8 in coverage? I mean, he was incensed. And also, you have a kicker. Think about this, right? We let off the segment with the Cowboys, right? Yeah, Brandon Aubrey kicks a 61-yarder yesterday. And actually, he wasn't the only one. Someone else nailed a 61-yarder yesterday, too.
Packers, I think?
Was it the Packers?
Yeah.
It might have been.
Packers.
Okay.
Yeah.
61-yarders, right? The kicking game has never been more of a weapon than it is in today's NFL, the 2025 NFL. And the dumb Giants are the only team in the NFL, it seems, who have no kicking game. The dude missed 2 PATs yesterday, okay? And it kind of sunk him.
Ah, damn it!
I mean, this has been a theme now. If I were going to fire Joe Shane, the general manager, I get you took a swing and you got Jackson Dart, and that's fine. I'd almost fire him off of not having a kicker. You had Graham Gonneau, Pearl, and he's been hurt. Well, you know what? Kickers get hurt all the time.
Especially that one.
Oh,
especially that one. You have to have a better backup than a dude who lost his job as a senior at Rutgers University.
Like, yeah, I mean, they do. They have Young Wei Koo just toiling away on the practice squad.
He might be hurt.
Then find another one.
I know,
man. How difficult
can
it be? You're a general manager. Yeah.
That feels fireable, and this is not the first time the lack of a kicking game has really hurt the Giants. You're in Mile High Stadium, for goodness sakes.
Can I just say, This is WFAN Maggie, New York Radio Maggie. Yeah, I just complain about the Giants, the depth chart, and firing the GM and yelling kind of over something that nobody else outside of New York would ever care about.
Did you watch that game, though? But did you watch that game yesterday? And the guy missed the PAT, two PATs.
Obviously.
They cut him, I assume, today.
Not yet. He is not in Ireland yet of here at 8:13.
Can I say one thing to what Richie was saying? I mean, it is Jackson Dart's fifth game. Like, the interception that we referenced, again, he's got to make mistakes. He's a young quarterback. Can't kill him. I think you're so excited about this guy, right?
Definitely. It's the only silver line.
Oh, yeah. He's him.
Yeah.
The other thing is, five games in, once the defensive coordinators get tape on him, then we'll see.
He made that athletic play at the goal line to score that touchdown.
The athletic tools are clearly there.
He's running. Yeah.
Yeah, he made some throws yesterday. Yes, he had a couple that should have been picked, but he made some throws that were like, whoa, that's not a normal quarterback. He has an arm, no question.
Is this the was that the game of the year yesterday? That's what Perloff said.
Your Bills Ravens game was pretty awesome too.
I kind of still like last week's game, right?
Which one was it?
That was we were just talking about it. Why can't I remember now?
College or pro?
It was NFL. It was a big game last week.
You know what game was great, by the way? The Packers Cardinals was great because the Packers went for it on fourth down, and the announcer's like, you cannot go for it on fourth down here. Take the points. And Matt LaFleur, uncharacteristically aggressive play, won that game.
Yeah, but about they actually sent the kicking team out there and then sent him back out?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like a dance.
I like it. I disagree. So, full disclosure, I picked the Packers to go to the Super Bowl, and I'm kind of convincing myself that they're legit. I think that I came away actually impressed with the Cardinals.
That's the game I'm thinking about. Jags Chiefs 2 weeks ago.
Jags Chiefs.
Trevor Lawrence almost fell.
Fumble and
that was the game of the year.
That game was great.
I think it had the Jags in it.
I already forgot about that game.
Who cares about that?
I don't know.
It feels like the Giants.
Anytime the Jags play, it still feels like it's in Tottenham Spurs Stadium. I don't know.
Yeah, by the way, so much for the home field advantage for
them.
Hey, remember Travis Hunter? He scored a touchdown yesterday. How about that?
They can throw to him in the first half, too.
Oh, can they?
I don't know. Maybe it's different laws over there.
I was actually thinking, my takeaway from that game is, man, I wish Davante Adams was on my team. That guy's still got a lot of juice left.
Also, Packers Cowboys 40-40 tie was great, too.
Oh, but it's a tie.
Yeah.
But still, it was a barn burner.
No. But you know what, though? The historical press, there's never been anything like this Giants-Broncos game. Never.
Game of the year was on Thursday night, guys. The 40-year-old against the 40-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a good
Rodgers
game.
Rodgers v. Flacco.
Yeah, that was a good game.
By the way.
That was a hell of a game.
We got a little Packers versus Rodgers next week.
Oh, I can't wait on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Tirico and the gang.
I'd rather see... I mean, yeah, we already had Jets, Rodgers. I don't remember what happened with that one. That was a good game, but
I think the Steelers won because the Jets don't have
a win. That was the only
game
the Jets played this year. The Jets should have won that game until the guy fumbled the kick return.
Feels like we're going to have a game of the year every week.
Well, this one was particularly interesting.
This was not.
Denver quarterback Bo Nix goes 16 for 25 for 170 yards and two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. They're the first team in history to score 33 or more points after being shut out through the first three quarters. Does that constitute the game of the year? I'm still going to give it to Shohei. I think Shohei on Friday night still takes the game.
Can it be the game of the NFL year and still be the second best game of the weekend? Possible.
I think that Shohei's game was the game of the year.
No, I meant NFL game of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just period. 2025.
Yeah.
I think it had to be close. I think it had to be a closer game to do that.
We're never going to see it again.
It was the best individual performance of the year, but game of the year, no, the game itself was kind of terrible. He was great. I don't know. Is Kobe Bryant's 81 points the game of the year in the NBA?
That was crazy. Yeah.
But I don't like the Lakers won by like 18 points. Like, I don't know if you can say that's the game of the year. I think you say that was a great individual game of the year.
18 points is a close game nowadays.
That's true. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Asking you a couple questions. Who was the game of the weekend? And now maybe who was the game of the year? So much more to do, including that can be, by the way, baseball, college football, the NFL. We've got the M&P 500 coming your way next. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down after a huge weekend?
All right, Maggie, I'm hot on Prize Picks, and that's why I'm in a good mood today. My mood does depend a little bit on Prize Picks, but you always get back to it. Prize Picks tonight, you could go Baker Mayfield, 242.5 passing yards. You pick less or more on a stat projection, and if you're right, you get paid. Right now, new users get $50 in bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. So simple to use. Just pick two or more players, pick more or less on their stat projections, and you could do football, you could do baseball, you could do soccer, so many choices, and you could win big.
Okay, why don't we put that Baker Mayfield 242.5, and how about combo with Vlad Guerrero? More than a 6.5 hitter fantasy score. Blue Jays got the home field advantage. Game 7. This is exciting stuff. We're obsessed with prize picks, and you can be too. It's available in 40-plus states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. It's all there for you on Prize Picks. Come on and play along with us. How do you do it? Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code M&P to get $50 bonus credit in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code M&P to get $50 bonus credit in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it is good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Every Monday, we do Stock Up, Stock Down. All right, Mag, get us started on a crazy, fun sports weekend.
Yeah, I was going to go with your Philadelphia Eagles, but I'll save that one for you.
Oh, thank you, because that's my first one.
Okay, well, we'll save that for a second. I got to give Stock Up to the Chicago Bears. I've been really hard on this team. Pearl, they have won four consecutive games in the same season for the first time since 2018. It's been a while since the Bears have strung together four straight wins in the same season. That happened yesterday. Bears put together, you know, really, really impressive defensive effort against the New Orleans Saints, who had kind of been this plucky team with Spencer Rattler. He was not good yesterday outside in some weather. They forced four takeaways. Caleb wasn't even that great, but the run game was going and the defense had things going. That's a winning formula in a place like Chicago. So stock up the Bears.
Yeah, I'm not giving that game a lot of meaning. It just felt like kind of a mess. We'll see once Chicago gets tested against better teams. Okay, I'll tell you one team who looked dominant on offense, at least. Jalen Hurts for the Eagles, 19 for 23, 326 yards, three TDs. After all this criticism that the Eagles can't pass the ball, came off the field, and in a lot of people captured video, basically said, we're not losing again. One thing about Jalen Hurts, that dude is a winner. And I've been down on this team, and I kind of forgot that. He will probably have games where he disappears again, but he is, I think, even I do it, underrate him as a player because he's not your traditional high-octane quarterback who's going to come out and throw for 300 yards every game. But when he needs to, he makes a play. At the end of the game, he made a massive play to seal the win. This is about Jalen Hurts to me as a stock up.
I mean, how long was that pass in the air to A.J. Brown? 10 years? Like, that was just
And it was perfect. Easily completed, too.
Well, if the stock goes up, the stock goes down. Hate to pile on, but man, this Raiders thing is just an all-out disaster. I know they won last week against Tennessee, but they get shut out against the Chiefs this week. The Raiders had 3 first downs in the game. 3 in the game. Raiders. By the way, did you know this stat? That Andy Reid has never had a regular season shutout until yesterday?
Yes, I heard that during the show. Wow.
427 regular season games that he's coached, and this is the first time that he had a shutout.
Yeah, and it was relatively easy to do, too.
They shut out the Texans in 2015, but that was a postseason game. This is a regular season game. Never had a shutout.
Okay, my stock down, EJ, hold your ears. Carson Beck threw 4 interceptions in the 24-21 loss from Miami to Louisville. Then afterwards, and I'm curious what you guys think about this, he was at his press conference, and he explained the last pick, which was the game sealer. He said, we have a perfect play for it, but we just had a miscommunication with the route with what we were doing. So he's basically blaming the receiver for running the wrong route. And he got a lot of criticism for that. I think maybe piling on a little bit. But he was the bad Carson Beck that we saw sometimes at Georgia. And to me, it's interesting, stocked out because this guy's stock was pretty high. He was in the Heisman race, yep, and he was considered a potential first-round pick.
I literally have a Heisman bet on Carson Beck. My 2 Heisman bets that are open right now are Carson Beck and John Mateer.
Yeah, so better chance with Carson Daly right now than Carson Beck.
I just hate money, and I like to burn it through a little website called DraftKings. That was tough. I'm going to stay in the ACC for the stock going back up, Pearl. And how about Georgia Tech? Haynes King, I mentioned early in the season, how come he's not in the Heisman race? You know, right now, Yellow Jackets are they still ranked 12th?
No, they're way higher. I think they're 7. They're 7, yeah.
Inside the top 10, off to their first 7-0 start since 1966. He was 14 of 21 passing over, this was against Duke, 205 passing yards, 120 yards on 14 carries. And the game was actually tied at halftime. And then King comes out after halftime, 4 consecutive scoring drives, Pearl. I thought he's been excellent. He's super fun to watch. Haynes King, stock up. We're also busy, you know, praising Diego Pavia, who totally deserves it because that's super fun. The Vanderbilt thing is not a fluke, yeah, but Haynes King's right there with him.
Well, I got to tell you, though, I actually studied their schedule last night. It's going to look they're probably going to have at least one loss. It's going to look pretty weak. They're still going to make it in the tournament, but their best win was Clemson, who's now not good all of a sudden. And Duke was right there with them. So I think they're a team that's found a way to win. I just don't know how really good they are. I feel like they could get like SMU last year, get into the playoff, and then disappoint. But I'll give you that. Okay. Another stock up, Christian McCaffrey, by the way. I think he took last night personally. It was the Niners against the Falcons, and Bijan Robinson was getting to be known as the great all-around back. Can catch the ball, can run the ball, was on pace for the all-time record for yards from scrimmage. But McCaffrey last night, that dude is back, and his just legs would not stop churning, which makes me think maybe your Super Bowl pick, Maggie, is alive with the Niners because they win when Christian McCaffrey is playing well. That's just the reality of this team. Everything else does not matter, but McCaffrey can carry them.
The only thing is, can he keep this up?
Great question.
Okay, I don't know if this is stock down or stock up. Maybe I'll put it to the show, and you guys can say whether this is a stock up or stock down. So, College Game Day, obviously very famous for having fans bringing signs to the set, wherever they are.
The best.
The best, right? So James Franklin, the recently fired head coach from Penn State, is up there doing the mea culpa,
yeah,
tearjerker kind of interview. Hey, listen, you know, I'm hurting for my guys right now. You know, he's saying all the right thing. And as he's like really getting into the emotional part of what it was like to be let go from Penn State, there's a sign over his shoulder that says Lane Kiffin poops standing up. And it's just clear as day. And this is like Franklin, the tears in the eyes. And then you can't unsee that. And it was just so block lettering.
Seems like the perfect metaphor for James Franklin's tenure at Penn State.
But is that a stock up or a stock down for game day there for that whole situation?
Definitely stock up. That's good. But James Franklin had a week. Everyone's like, whoa, he's so good on game day. He's going to get any analyst job he wants. And now there are all these teams that are like, well, I'd take a James Franklin, like Arkansas, for example.
No, he'll get hired. That's for sure.
But I don't know if he wants to get hired because then he loses his offset, his salary. Can I just do my stock up or maybe stock down real quick? Did you guys see the headline that the thieves who stole crown jewels from the Louvre in 4 minutes? Did anybody see this burglary? Well, get ready in a year and a half when it's on Netflix. It is the craziest.
They're gonna turn that around a lot quicker than a year and a half. Netflix, they're working on that right now.
In 4 minutes, they forced a window, smashed the display case, and filled these priceless Napoleonic jewels into a bag and ran out and did not get caught. It is considered the most brazen, maybe most important museum theft of all time. It happened yesterday in Paris.
But how do you move that material?
Yeah.
Like, how on do the you black sell- market.
Is that how you sell it?
Russian oligarch, stuff like that.
Yeah. Is that right, Maggie?
Maggie has, of course, she has a way.
Well, so here's my thing, though, about that. So this is a jewel theft. Mm-hmm. But is it like a heist when it's a smash and dash? Like, if I want a jewel heist, I want someone who's been casing the joint for 6 months, you know, who had to get the band back together, of guys who just got out of prison.
Yeah, okay.
This is not Ocean's Tom 11. Cruise, though. No, no. This is not.
People are calling it Ocean's 14. It's
I want
so funny.
Someone who had to rappel down from the ceiling and get through the laser sensors. Yeah,
sounds like a GTA mission.
Yeah, this is it. Someone just broke a window.
You just threatened somebody with a sledgehammer. Yes, there's a different way of doing
things. That's not an art to that.
200 yards away from the Mona Lisa.
Didn't think to grab that one.
The emerald set imperial crown of Napoleon III's wife, Empress Eugenia, like the Mariners player, I guess.
Eugenia?
Yeah.
Eugenia.
It combines 1,300 diamonds. Just, you know, this is going to be a Netflix story. I don't know if they're going to catch these guys. Isn't that unbelievable? I guess it's easier to steal priceless jewels than we thought. You don't need a whole movie, man.
Let's attack the MoMA.
Yeah, you don't even need like a plan, sounds like. The plan is break the window, go in, put the jewels in a bag, and walk out.
Yeah. Yeah. I would assume there's some videotape of these guys.
Oh, there's videotape everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about to be on Netflix.
Yeah. Netflix will have incredible footage.
Let me guess, they're wearing hooded sweatshirt?
Yeah, they're wearing like neon green stuff as well. So they were easy to spot, but not so easy to
stop. Wait, you saw the story?
That was a big deal.
It's video everywhere. It's like the front page of the newspaper. If you, you know, the front page of the newspaper is actually the important stuff. It's the back page that we go to, but there's actually other stuff on the front.
One man's opinion.
Yeah. New York Post had a mile high flub.
Oh, this is going to be great. New York Post headlines right here. Come on.
For the Broncos beating them. Yeah.
Okay. So that's a little M&P 500, a little taste of whose stock is up and whose stock is down. Amazingly, Mike McDaniel did not make it into that and still has a job, Gordon, right?
So far as we know, the update has just started. Let's see where it goes. I have no idea how to calculate quarterback rating. I don't think anybody does. But everyone knows the perfect quarterback rating is 158.3, and that's what Jalen Hurts did yesterday.
Hurts is back. Hurts looking. He's still looking. Still looking, waving, going down, going for A.J. Brown. Caught at the 10, in for a touchdown. Hurts to Brown, and Brown fires it into the stands.
Yeah, 19 to 23, 326, and three touchdowns as the Eagles beat the Vikings 28-22. The call on Eagles radio there.
Not bad.
Not bad,
except Carson Wentz was not great in this game. Yeah. I know he had the picks early, but even late, he cannot find these two receivers in the red zone. I could not understand it. And so, I know you don't want to throw another pick. I get that. You're gun shy about it. But here's the thing. Like, at some point, Justin Jefferson needs a 50-50 ball when you're trailing like that, in my opinion.
He'd gotten hit a lot. I mean, that's my only defense. Like, a lot. He was sort of hurting by the end. He's still better than J.J. McCarthy. That's the thing. Like, the bar here, you're not telling me that J.J. McCarthy can go out and throw for 320 yards every day.
No chance.
So that's the issue in Minnesota.
If you did not feel like getting up early to watch the Rams and Jaguars from London, you did not miss much. Matt Stafford, 5 touchdowns. Good. Rams crushed the Jags 35-7. Then there was Mike Vrabel's return to Tennessee, which went like how you would expect, but maybe not for CBS analyst Jason McCourty.
The Patriots aren't going to go too fast. Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, he has the last shot mentality. He wants to make sure they end this half with the ball.
May taking a deep shot down the field. Booty is down there. Touchdown!
What a catch! Keyshawn Booty!
Yeah, so much for that. That was the call on CBS. Pats won it 31-13.
Wait, to be fair, that was Jason McCourty?
Yes.
So Devin is the one who played for the Patriots forever. I think Jason only had like a cup of coffee with him.
Is that right? In my mind, they were both
for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, right. Devin is the all-time Pats guy. So maybe it was like he doesn't know McDaniels as well as he thinks he does.
By the way, the Patriots schedule. Oh, dear God.
Oh, it's so easy.
It's so easy. They host the Browns. They got the Jets, the Giants, the Bengals. I mean, it is. Drake May, you said last week that Drake May was getting some MVP buzz. I don't know if he's going to deserve it, but he's going to get it because this is going to be a lot of wins in New England.
Why couldn't the Giants get that type of schedule? They were one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Cyclical.
You had an easy schedule, and you made the playoffs that year, and you won a playoff game in Minnesota, and then after that, everything fell apart.
Well, I want off the ride.
Well, you can control that.
No, I will not. No, I'm not getting off.
Make it four straight wins for the Bears. Beat the Saints 26-14. They were led by who, Terry Bradshaw?
DeAndre Smith.
Swift.
Yeah. That's what I said, but I'm going to my way. Swift, straight up the middle, 11-yard touchdown.
Yeah, that's the courtesy of Fox. Swift, 124 on the ground. And the
Emeka Egbigbo.
Giants defense pitched a shutout for three quarters yesterday, but then, of course, came the fourth quarter.
Knicks on a design quarterback run. Bo inside the 10. Bo inside the 5. Touchdown, Denver! Holy mackerel!
Yeah. Okay, we're going to be asking this question till the end of time. Is Bo Nix good?
Yeah.
I can't do this.
Get ready. EJ, we're going to put up that poll question no fewer than 100 times.
Sean Gilgeous Alexander.
Can you take the fifth on a sports question? I refuse to answer this on grounds I might incriminate myself.
What, of being a Bo Nix fan?
Or of Bo Nix doing something completely different next week. I have no idea from drive to drive what quarterback you're going to see.
No clue.
That was a call on the Broncos radio network. Denver, 33 fourth quarter points, beat the Giants 33-32.
Shane Bowen still have a job?
He, as of 8:38, he still does. As for Mike McDaniel?
I have to coach a lot better as well, so we're going to find out who and what we're made of.
Yeah. Tonight, Bucks, Lions, Texans, Seahawks, and as if that was not enough, we got a game 7 tonight.
Barcher lifts the ball, right center, Canzone looking up at the fence, out of here!
Yeah, I get the feeling Mike McDaniel is also going to be out of here pretty soon. That was the call on the Blue Jays radio network. Toronto takes game 6-6-2. Game 7 tonight, George Kirby, Shane Bieber on the mound.
I got an idea, actually, for the Giants, and this was slightly inspired by some of the conversations I was having in the press box at that Rutgers-Oregon game.
Go ahead, Max.
So everyone's saying nice things now about Bill Belichick, even though they lost that game to Cal.
Oh, don't do this to
me. You got the double statements that came out. Hey, we support Belichick at UNC. Belichick's like, I'm fully committed to North Carolina. You need a new defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I heard this little thought in the morning show on the local side.
Oh, I didn't know they did it too. But can I tell you, someone who I was talking with who talks to a lot of people around the league thought that the only way that Belichick gets back into the NFL is with the Giants next year. The Giants love him.
And as a head coach.
If Daboll got fired.
DC.
Or head.
Well, why not keep Daboll to work with Jackson Dart and have Bill Belichick run the defense as an option?
Well, that's kind of the more like the halfway measure. But the idea that the Giants are still the one team that has this undying forever love of Belichick, even more than the Patriots, ironically.
I actually think it'd be a cool story if he went full circle and was defensive coordinator of the Giants
and
again.
And won two Super Bowls with Lawrence Taylor.
Well, just to go back to where you started from, and he does have Brian Burns and maybe Thibodeau. I don't know if he's going to be
there. Abdul Carter.
Yeah, Abdul Carter, right. Like he could turn this into a great Giants defense.
Would be nice, but we don't have any secondary right now because we have Deontay Banks running out there as a backup, and he can't catch a cold.
I was going to say, I don't know what Thibodeau's contract status, but that guy was about 7 yards offsides on a key play one time.
Also, I think Abdul Carter shattered his wrist at one point, and nobody even mentioned anything about it. But anywho, that's a little of some of the rumors that were going around.
I got to be honest, had no idea that Cal and North Carolina played.
No, that one did
nobody
not
was like,
right
was anybody up. Talking about that one?
It was on after Louisville, Miami, I think. Yeah.
I went over. I was so sad that Matt Rhule laid such an egg after I said so many nice things about his chances to turn Nebraska into a powerhouse.
I don't know why you guys keep jumping in that Matt Rhule Nebraska thing. You guys knew it was going to happen. The same thing happened last year.
Wait, Patrick Mahomes didn't win a game for him?
Wait, no. I don't think that I didn't think it would happen versus Minnesota.
They were 10-point favorites. They were 10-point favorites, EJ.
I watched them play last year. They started 5-1. People just assumed, oh, this 5-1 is going to be different. I'm like, why would I assume that? That was not surprising on Friday. I'm sorry.
I was also thinking, you know, Rhule is trying to toe the line here of talking about his alma mater, Penn State, in a big way, while also saying, you know, Nebraska, and I love it here. We're building something here and the whole deal. And I just wonder if, you know, there are real life like consequences of that. People start thinking about my job and am I going to hit the portal and what's going to happen to me? And I wonder if they were distracted.
No. He said all the right things. He said, I'm staying. I'm building something. He basically said, good luck to your next hire. Andy Staples was on the show earlier from On Three. He said, nobody's going from Nebraska where you have all the leeway to win or lose to Penn State, where if you don't get 11 wins, you're out. Matt Rhule might not even want Penn State.
888-710-4ISN. Shohei Ohtani's performance on Friday. 6 shutout innings, 10 strikeouts, 3 home runs. Is it the greatest postseason performance we've ever seen? It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Crazy, crazy weekend that we're reacting to. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Where does Shohei Ohtani's Game 4 performance rank in terms of all-time postseason performances? So this one goes back to Friday, but it's worth it. 6 shutout innings, 10 Ks, 3 home runs to add on top of that. Pearl, is it the greatest we've ever seen in the playoffs?
No.
Individual performances.
No. Because of the stakes and what was going on. I mean, if this was Game 6 of the World Series, then yes. But I'd still put behind Don Larson's perfect game, Reggie Jackson's 3 home run game. There's just a little more lore to those two jump to mind. And Bob Gibson, although in 1967, there's a couple games, but Game 7, I still think because it was 3-0 and the Dodgers clearly had the Brewers number, the Brewers bats were very slow in this series. I just put it just a skunch behind.
I mean, does it have to be a World Series game in order for it to be the greatest of all time? Because like there's a Roy Halladay no-hitter.
Yep.
That was not in the World Series.
Yeah, but that's, I guess, my point about stakes. Mm. You know, I think you raise the stakes. Obviously, you got, even though they didn't, you have to win because Carlton Fisk's home run jumps out to me. Like, it's certainly, the stat line is the best stat line we've ever seen. There's no doubt about that. But where do you put it, Meg?
I mean, I want to say that it's one because of what the person did. Like, if you want to tell me that David Freese, you know, has bigger moments, right, to tie it and then win against the Rangers. If you want to tell me, you know, that Reggie did it in the postseason. If you want to tell me Madison Bumgarner did it in the World Series. Like, yeah, I can do that. But none of these guys were pitching and hitting. That has to elevate this, I think, to a world all of its own. Like, yeah, when John Smoltz and Jack Morris were going back and forth in 1991, that was unbelievable. But this is both. To do both
Mm-hmm.
He's pitching and he's hitting, so I think it has to belong in a world unto its own. I think that means it's won.
Although Gibson did hit a home run in Game 7 of the 1967 World Series, which I read a couple people. That is but totally random. He wasn't. No, of course. I mean, no one's going to throw 10 strikeouts and hit three home runs ever again, except for maybe Shohei again.
Here's the other thing, though, about that. That Game 7 win that Bob Gibson, weren't they ahead by a lot? That was like a tack on. That was one of your, I'm not trying to disrespect the legend of Bob Gibson.
Probably.
Believe me.
Bob Gibson is a staff hatter?
I'm not saying that. I feel like Bob Gibson would come from the grave and just like, throw a fastball at my head. No. I'm not disrespecting Bob Gibson. What I'm saying is I think that it was already,
okay,
the game was out of reach, is what I'm understanding.
Actually, I didn't even know that. To me,
Gibson won Game 1, 4, and 7 in that series because he's amazing.
Yeah, there's something about the Reggie Jackson 3 home run game that you grow up with that game. There's lore around that game. That was the Yankees and the Dodgers. There's been movies that have featured that game. It just feels, and there's certain moments, the shot heard world around the world, the Bill Mazeroski home run, Reggie Jackson's game, that was Game 6. I'm not sure Shohei, because they were up 3-0, necessarily gets into that. It probably will, but it's not like everyone was gathered around the radio and heard the Giants win the pennant. It just doesn't feel as historically significant.
Well, 1977, they weren't. I mean, please be gathered around the radio. On radio.
Well, 1977, though, there were three channels and baseball was the most popular sport on TV. There were probably millions and millions of people watching that. It just felt, unfortunately, it was Friday night, not the number one sports night. It wasn't a standalone game. Yeah, I don't know. I understand what you're saying. Yes, statistically, it's the greatest game of all time, playoffs or non-playoffs.
I just think it's funny. It's like, not a lot of people watch Shohei Ohtani because they were watching Carson Beck throw four picks against Louisville.
Well, maybe, before he threw between 2 and 3 before they tuned out. But Friday night is famously the death knell for sports, the least watched sports night.
Well, the World Series is going to start on a Friday, no matter what happens tonight. You got a Game 7 between the Mariners and the Toronto Blue Jays in Toronto tonight, and then whatever happens, happens, and we get the World Series starting on Friday.
I mean, now the ratings are going to soar for this because everyone's going to want to watch Shohei. I will give you that. Like, this is as must-watch a player as you get. Maybe Barry Bonds, when the Giants played the Angels, it's similar to that. But what if he gets cold again? I asked you this, Maggie. It was up 3-0. What if Shohei gets cold at the plate again and does not perform well in the World Series? Will that affect how you think about this?
I don't think so, because if we're just talking about individual, like, all-time performances, and if the Dodgers win, like, I don't think it's going to be remembered as, wow, remember how Shohei was like super, unimpressive in that postseason. He's going to give you this all-time moment. If they lose and he doesn't play well, all right, well, then he's going to get the treatment that every star player would get if he keeps failing in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, that's why this is going to be incredibly dramatic. And we get a slump buster.
Maybe.
Hallelujah.
Our question for you at Maggie and Pearl, because I've declared 2025 the year of the drought buster, which turned into the slump buster.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I meant drought buster.
Yeah, sure you did. Are you rooting for the Dodgers?
Yeah.
88% of you say no.
Why?
Because they're the evil empire now, man.
Wow. That was not close. 88%.
You can still go vote at Maggie and Pearl. We're also asking you, what was the game of the weekend? Because you got a couple really big options here, whether it was yesterday's Denver Broncos, New York Giants fourth quarter calamity, whether you've got maybe like a little Alabama, Tennessee, maybe more Diego Pavia, Vanderbilt beating LSU is more your cup of tea. By the way, are we going to start hearing a little Brian Kelly hot seat? Billy Napier was fired. James Franklin has been fired. a lot of guys have been fired so far. This is going to be tougher for LSU.
I heard multiple takes that we should have known culturally this was the worst combination of coach and program possible. How many times have we played that video on social media, or is it getting played, where Brian Kelly is on a pedestal and he's turning with that quarterback recruit? Well, I can't remember who that was.
Well, when he faked the accent.
Yeah, but there's this hype video where he's doing a little dance that is getting played. It's just not working.
A little try too hard, bro? Trying a little too hard, bro?
Okay, Nick Saban is now Mr. LSU, Alabama, all that. He was from West Virginia and coached at Michigan State.
Yeah, fair.
If you win, Meyer, you're good.
Urban Meyer is from, obviously, Ohio, I think, and he fit in pretty well in Gainesville. That's a good point.
Yeah, I think some of that stuff is a bit overrated. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Shohei Ohtani, is that the greatest postseason performance of all time? And who had the best game of the weekend? It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. Come on in.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.